wings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Praise the Lord. Well, I have a title that we're going to look at and discuss, which I think is very applicable and speaking very much to us now, what we're going through. And the title is Kept Alive in the Time of Famine and Plagues. Kept Alive in the Time of Famine and Plagues. And as the Lord gave this to me, I quickly turned to Psalm 91, in which to get this title confirmed in the Word of God. And let's just remind ourselves what it says here with regard to the Lord preserving and keeping us in these troublesome times that we are living in. We're calling this Kept Alive in the Time of Famine and Plagues. And Psalm 91 and verses 5 to 6 says, "You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday." So here we are seeing God's blessing, his protection in this great psalm, Psalm 91. He says here that the pestilence that walks in darkness, so the nature of pestilences, diseases, plagues, they are the dark, they move, they spread. And it says, nor this destruction that lays waste at noonday. So here we see God's protection over us. We're also aware in verse 10, he says, "No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, and to bear, and its hands they shall bear you up." So there we go. We clearly are shown in Psalm 91 that the Lord will preserve and protect his people through these times. And this, of course, is where our faith comes in. And this is why we make much about faith. We have been preaching faith for all these years because of these very things that are coming on the earth. You see, God never gets this wrong. We might not always understand. We may wonder where this is all going and why God sometimes emphasizes faith like he does. But it's not until these trials and these tests come do we then begin to appreciate what our Heavenly Father has been doing with us over all these years. Getting us into his word, getting the word of God so that it becomes a part of us. That we are united with God's word. This is what he wants. He doesn't want it just a word that you read intellectually, but he wants it to be the word of God that is your life, your food, your experiencing. And when we start to understand the word of God in that way, because we know that faith comes by hearing the word of God, then we appreciate these promises that we just read out here, because we know they are sustaining, they are keeping us, because we believe in God, we believe in his character, we believe in his love, his provision through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we know, of course, that you don't just immediately get this. This is a lifelong experience. This is dedication. This is commitment, endurance. And so as we get these trials, and we're going to get them, and we're going to get more of these plagues, we're going to get famines, we're going to get earthquakes. We don't know how long we are continuing on this earth until the Lord comes for us and takes us. But until then, we are going to see increases in all these things. Make no bones about it. It's already happening. We know that earthquakes are increasing around the world. They're not always recorded, but so many more now are active. And so it goes on. So we can appreciate such psalms like this, like Psalm 91. And so the Lord says several times here that he will protect us from plagues. I'm reminded of the story of Joseph. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis 45. And we just look at verses 13 to 18 of Genesis 45. And remember the story of Joseph, where his brothers, because they were jealous of him, they sold him into Egypt. And God used all of this. He had a plan. And of course, he raised him up. He came out of prison and he became Pharaoh's right-hand man because he revealed the dream, the vision of what was going to come. 7 good years and 7 lean years. And so, of course, he was used to build all these storehouses and to reap in all the harvest in preparation for the lean years to come. That was a famine that was coming, that came upon the land, and it was a very bad famine. But look at God's protection. And let's take it up chapter 45, verse 3. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brethren could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life." There you are. You see, the picture is always bigger with God. Even though we may be going through trial or tribulation, we don't understand, but God has always got a plan. And we see this plan unfolding. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither ploughing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So there's the protection of Psalm 91. The same God preserving the saints here is the same God preserving you and I. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, and you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds and all that you have. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of your brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. Now the report of it was heard to Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brothers have come. So it pleased Pharaoh and his servants well. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brother, do this, lord your animals and depart. Go to the land of Canaan. Bring your father and your households and come to me, and I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you will eat of the fat of the land. There you are. God is blessing in the time of famine. God will preserve in the time of plagues and famine. We have already seen it there. We have read it in Psalm 91. Why have we got these great stories in the Word of God? Because God preserves his remnant. God is preserving the patriarchs here. He's bringing Jacob up and his family to preserve them from this great famine that is hitting the land. So why do we doubt? Why do we allow fear to work in us? Why do we listen to the fear that is behind all of this COVID and the lies and the exaggerations that is going on about all of this? We know that there is so much fear manifesting at this present time. And it does a lot of damage and a lot of confusion. And sadly, so many of God's people are affected by this because they're looking at the giants of the land. They're looking at the Goliaths who are mocking and blaspheming God's people. This is why God is working with us to rise up. Not in ourselves, but in the power and might and strength of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the promises of his word. God will preserve us, brothers and sisters, because we don't know how much longer we're sojourners on this earth until the Lord comes for us. You see, we've got to understand that God sends plagues. He sends these as judgment, as warnings. We're told, aren't we, that in the last days there'll be wars, rumours of wars, plagues, pestilences. This is all leading towards the tribulation and the great tribulation. I'm reminded of King David when he made a census and he numbered the children of Israel, and he shouldn't have done that. God didn't want him to know how many there were because they walked by faith, trusting God. But he wouldn't listen to sound advice. And as a result of it, God sent a plague and 70,000 died because of what he did. You can read that in 2 Samuel 24. I'm reminded also of Pharaoh, where Moses went in before him telling Pharaoh to let God's people go, and how he was hit with a plague, a pestilence that killed all the livestock. You can read that in Exodus 9. So we see the nature so often of what these plagues or pandemics that they call them are. And Jesus clearly says that there will be plagues in the last days. Let's look at Luke 21 and verse 11. Luke 21 and verse 11. And there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. So all that we are beginning to see is a warning sign. It's starting to reveal what is going to come if man doesn't repent and turn away from his sin, his rebellion. You see, this is always the mercy of God. God always sends warnings. He does it even in our lives. If we're veering off or we're doing things independently of God, God has a way of speaking to us or warning us. And sometimes we take heed and sometimes we don't. And so sometimes the Lord has to allow us to be afflicted so that we learn to listen to the still small voice of God, to apply that wisdom in this walk, you see. And the Lord himself very clearly shows what is going to happen in the last days. We know this also in Matthew 24 and verse 7, Jesus' account of what is going to happen. I know I've read this to you many, many times, but I'll just read it to you again quickly in Matthew 24, verse 7. For nations will rise against nations and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. It's what's happening. Man is becoming sorrowful. He's becoming sorrowful, sadly, not because of what God is saying. He's become sorrowful because he can't go on his holiday, or he can't go out to the theatre or to clubs or pubs or whatever it is. How many do you hear, I can't wait to get back to normality, to get back to living again? That's all they live for. And brothers and sisters, we have to be careful of that. We have to get deliverance from that, because that's not what it's about for us. These are warnings and signs. But sadly, it isn't going to be what they think. That's the tragedy of it all. I'm reminded in the book of Revelation of the pale rider, the pale horse. And it says in the great tribulation that it goes forth and it kills a fourth of the earth with sword, with famine, with pestilence. Wow, think of that, what is going to happen. I mean, this pandemic is nothing in comparison to what is going to come in the time of the great tribulation. So the question is then, brothers and sisters, what do we conclude through all of this? What can we glean? Well, we know the Lord, he feeds us and he preserves us. We know this because God many, many times has shown that FGA and other assemblies are like the spiritual ark. The time when Noah built that ark, which was to save the souls, his family and livestock. So we see a spiritual ark being built now in these last days, that's saving the sons of God, the first fruits unto the Lord. And we know that that door to that ark has been open, and as far as I know, is still open, that we can enter in, into security, into protection, because that is what the ark is. It is a protection. It is a type of saviour to save us to what is coming on the earth. And we know that this ark is not only to save us, but it feeds us, it sustains us, it preserves us, and it keeps us in fellowship and relationship with the Lord and each other. That's what it does. That is what the church is supposed to be. This is why we come together in fellowship. This is why they're trying to stop Christians from meeting together. The powers of darkness are working through behind all this lockdown. The aim and the purpose is to stop God's people from fellowshipping together. That is what the powers of darkness are doing. And they use all the things around us globally to attack God's people. There's nothing new in this, brothers and sisters. But we know God's still bringing us even together. He's doing it tonight. And we shall be soon together, meeting in the flesh again. Praise God. Because God only allows the enemy to go so far, and then he says, that is enough. Because God will have his people meet together in fellowship. And he's going to move heaven and earth for that. Do you know why? Because our fellowship, our coming together as the body of Christ, is for the glory of God. And God is jealous over his glory. And he will do it. We see in church history how the powers of darkness have tried to destroy the body of Christ through persecution. And what do you find? It gets stronger and more are added to the church. Why? Because it's God's glory. So we take encouragement in this. Even though all these things are going on around us, we still praise and worship and thank God for what he's doing. For example, let's turn to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 9 to 14. Colossians chapter 1 verses 9 to 14. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And so it goes on. Look what he's done there. And the apostle takes great delight and great thanks. Yes, they're going through great persecution, these early Christians. How the apostle Paul wrote these things, many of these prison epistles. And yet look what he says, because he always sees something greater and bigger. Every trial, every problem or whatever it is, God has always got a plan. And that is why we wait on the Lord to see it unfold. And even through this pandemic, God has a plan, and we wait and we watch to see it unfold. Only God can do that. Look what it says in verse 23 of the same chapter. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So we continue in the faith. We continue to stay with it for the very purpose to see God's plan being unfolded for your life, for your family, and so on. Your prayers, your faith, your confession. This is why I say stay with it to the end, because you will see God is faithful. But he's going to do it in his time and his way. And you can't force that. All he wants of us is to continue to walk with him, trust him, and particularly now in these times of plagues and things that are going on, it's all becoming very active. And God wants us to be active, even if they've got put us in lockdown. Well, if they put us in prison or they put us in lockdown, it doesn't matter. We still are active. We will still praise the Lord. We will do whatever it takes. We will see these mountains removed and cast into the sea. I'm reminded of Paul in prison. Look how active he was. He didn't just sit there and mope and, oh, poor me, look at the state I'm in chains or whatever. No, he wanted parchment and something to write with. He wanted to encourage, he wanted to write, he wanted to share with the saints to encourage them. God will open doors in prison, wherever, in times of plague or famine. Doesn't matter, God will open doors. Don't let this affect you. Don't listen to all the negative, but watch God open doors in every situation, because we walk by faith and not by sight. Because God is going to provide. He's going to work through the impossible. And that is what we should always look for and believe for. That God will work through the impossible. And things are going to get more and more restricted upon us. We're already seeing it. Well, praise God, he will open doors. He will work through the impossible. Let's turn to Matthew 17. Matthew 17 and verse 20-21. And this is in the context where the boy was healed. And he says here in verse 20, "So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." The point is, he's showing that faith is possible. And sometimes it might require prayer, or it might require a season of fasting, or whatever it be. But he says just a mustard seed of faith. That is all that is needed. You see, God is encouraging us to believe during these times. We don't know what is going to happen with this pandemic. We don't know what the future holds now with all these vaccines that they're giving out. I want to share something with you. As I was preparing this, I felt the Lord speak to me, and I don't get this very often, but when he does, it is something that I think is important. And I want you, if you will, turn with me to Revelation 16. Revelation 16. And I want us to look primarily at verse 2 of Revelation 16. Now, in Revelation 13, it speaks about where they receive the mark of the beast. There'd be a mark that's placed either on the right hand or on the forehead. Now, we're getting a lot of insight, aren't we, to what this mark is and what it's going to consist of. We're seeing a lot now, a lot of articles, a lot of people are speaking now showing that all of this and this technology is all leading towards the mark of the beast that the Antichrist is going to use. Now look here in verse 2. So the first went and poured out his bowls upon the earth. This is where the bowls of judgment now are being poured out. This is now coming to the great tribulation. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. And I looked at this and I thought, now it's those who take the mark of the beast. It's those who are chipped. It's those who have opened themselves up to this technology, to what we believe that vaccines and everything are moving towards the point of changing man's DNA. And I thought, Lord, what are you saying here? And it says, and sores came upon them. Now, these sores are blisters. They're like ulcers. I was reminded of when AIDS, HIV, came on the scene. And towards the last stage, before they died, they very often broke out in terrible sores and blisters. They had blood disorders. In other words, there was a complete breakdown of the immune system. And I asked myself this question before the Lord. Lord, are you saying that these are the signs that are moving toward what the world is taking with these vaccines? In other words, this mRNA. You know what this mRNA is? It's copying a gene from our DNA. That's what it means. It makes it into an mRNA. In other words, a lot of doctors have said that it is like a Trojan horse that is being put into the immune system. Are we seeing here what is taking place with now them having this final chip, changing them, changing the DNA, the person and everything? We are seeing the results of the breakdown of immunity and things that are happening. I don't know. I leave that with you to consider. But I believe the Lord brought that to my mind as I was in prayer today, as I was finishing this teaching for tonight. And I had never seen this before in this light. We're already hearing of reports that are happening. We've already been warned by many doctors and professors of what possibly could happen. But the point is, there's no stopping them now with these vaccines. They're going to roll out many more. We know this. Tampering, changing, manipulating with man's resistance. It's dangerous. And so, could we be seeing some of the things here back in verse 2 that will be in the last days? We just don't know. This is like a Pandora's box. We don't know what it's going to be when it opens. And this is the whole point. Why am I sharing this? Because of the very title that we're talking about. We're kept alive in the time of famine and plagues. And this is why the Holy Spirit is speaking to us like he is. This is why he's preserving and protecting us. And now we're beginning to see more and more why we walk by faith and not by sight, and why God has been dealing with us like he has over these years, because he's preserving, he's keeping us. Hallelujah. He's showing us not to touch these things. He has provided the blood of Jesus. We don't need any more. He has provided it at Calvary. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And we are getting that more and more from our heads to our hearts as God continues to root out this fear and this unbelief that tries to stop us inheriting and being blessed by the promises of God's word. The devil knows how to stop us from being blessed by God's promises. But I've got good news for you, brothers and sisters, as I close now. He's defeated in your life. Christ has overcome him, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And God has started this work, and he's going to finish this work, and he's going to bring us to this simple, childlike faith, simply trusting in all the provisions and the protection and the healing and the blessings of God's word, where we don't question it or think about it. It will just be automatic, like breathing. That's what he's working. No wonder the enemy's fighting like he is, because he doesn't like the fact that God has got a remnant who are being preserved and kept from famine, plagues, pestilences. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your encouragement. We thank you for the way you are speaking to us through your word. For your word gives us life. Your word sets us free. Lord, we pray your mercy, Father. Pray your mercy over our families, those we know, Lord, who are just under the pressures and the spirit of this age, just going along with it. Oh Lord, help them, open their eyes to see that there is a better way, a better walk, and that is with Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you do hear our prayers, our intercessions. You said you hear the prayer of a righteous man, for it avails much. But you have a right time in all these things. And not only that, as you have shown us in the word, it's always a bigger and greater picture. Because every step of faith, every promise we believe, every concession we make is always about your glory. So I thank you, Lord. And so, Father, I pray again you'll bless, preserve and keep my brothers and sisters. Keep them on this narrow path, this road, with their eyes always looking to the Lord. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Against all disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find secure.